because we now have the cinema judge.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Cinema Judge. I hope my voice finds you well. To all my regular listeners out there, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, welcome aboard. Approaching the bench today, we have Ordinary Angels. Here's a tagline. Inspired by the incredible true story of a hairdresser who single-handedly rallies an entire community to help a widowed father save the life of his critically ill young daughter. And this movie stars Hilary Swank and Alan Ritchson. And if you don't know who Alan is, he plays Reacher, an incredible show that you really should watch. If you haven't seen it yet, check out Reacher. But here's a trailer for Ordinary Angels.
My name is Sharon. I'm just a ticked off hairdresser with a splitting headache. I'm good at plenty of things. Taking no for an answer ain't one of them.
You just wandered into a lady you never met before's funeral.
Why exactly? Something about that little girl. She's just 5 and she already needs a liver transplant. Hi, Sharon, remember me?
Yes, ma'am.
So she's gonna help out a few nights a week.
I met this woman. She's a mess.
Perfect, she'll fit right in. I'm gonna put together a press kit for Michelle, get corporate donations, that kind of thing.
We don't need to be running around worrying about money and bills right now. I just want to be with my family.
I was about saying yes and then figuring out how. Girls, help your daddy out.
I'm not comfortable with this. I'm her father. I'm supposed to be the one taking care of her.
You're going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable because this ain't about you. It's about your little girl. When your insides
breaking in. Michelle will need to fly to the children's hospital immediately. I've had patients who have missed that window because they couldn't get a flight.
Don't lose your faith over this.
Officials are saying be prepared for what they're calling the worst blizzard in state history.
Is it today? Okay, we'll be there. You want to go on an adventure?
Yeah. Let's you go.
The roads haven't been plowed. The airport's closed. Honey, listen, it's too dangerous.
I have to make it. This is our last chance. If we don't take it, Michelle dies.
Someone's got to do something. Someone's got to fight for
it. But one thing I know for sure, that little girl now has the entire city rooting for her.
I want you to know something. You're not just worthy, Sharon. You're a miracle.
I've always enjoyed movies that are based on a true story, but sometimes you wonder what is true, what isn't, because we know in every movie they have to take creative license, and that's, we all understand that. Later on in the show, they're going to reveal something. I won't tell you now. You got to wait, of course. That there's this one part where you'd expect them to go one way, which most movies do. And you're like, okay, no, that's fine. That's how it has to be. But they actually follow the true life situation of what happened in this situation. And I really like the casting in this movie. From Hilary and Alan, you wouldn't think at first blush that those two would match up in this kind of movie. But they both have incredible performances. Hilary, no matter what she does, she is top-notch. And what I like about her career, it's powerful, it's insanely rich of great work, but she's quiet about it. She's not one of those kind of actors that go out there and just screams and yells and look at me, look at me, look at me. She lets her work speak for herself. She just quietly goes along doing good projects time and time again, not out there creating all kinds of noise, for lack of a better word. And having Alan in this, I really love that choice. Because later on, you can hear them talk about that too, that they might think, wow, this guy plays Reacher. He kicks butt and he's in a wild, crazy TV show, but he's an actor. And that's what I like about these kind of things. They take a chance on somebody. They just don't stick him into a stereotype of, okay, he could kick butt. That's the only kind of movies he can make. No, the guy has chops. He knows what he's doing. So I really dig that they took a chance on both these people and put them together to play real-life characters. Now, coming up first, we're going to hear from the director in a couple of interviews. He's going to talk about the title, and then he talks about researching the story and honoring those people who are real-life people. Here's the director, John Gunn.
Yeah, so when the project came to me, it was called Angels, and I was looking for a descriptive word to make that more specific. And I really liked this idea that this is a story about ordinary people, broken, messy, struggling people in pain, working through their own problems, helping each other. And often, you know, people like to talk about how we can all be angels for each other. And so I liked that idea of just ordinary people fighting through difficult circumstances, helping each other and healing themselves in the process. So Ordinary Angel seemed like a sort of more specific and fun title for this particular story. I had never heard of it, but I did some research on it right away, of course, and there's a lot of news coverage of what was the worst blizzard in Kentucky history, and this incredible true story of this family trying to save their daughter in the midst of that storm. So I was really, really compelled by that and by the heart and soul of it, that it's a family story, that it's a father fighting to save his daughter, and I have a daughter myself, so I really connected with the heart and soul of the thing. And then also just this very colorful and dynamic character of Sharon, you know? She's so much fun, and she's, you know, she's a spectacular character, I think, to portray and to watch, and so I was excited about that opportunity. As I was looking at the true story and looking at the real people, I feel like there's a responsibility and an obligation to tell their story in a way that honors their life. And because I've done a number of true stories, I take that responsibility very seriously. But I felt like at the heart of it, it was a story about healing. And I really liked that. It's a story about how helping other people is often how we heal ourselves. And I thought that was a great message to share with the world these days, because it's a movie that shows a community coming together to help somebody they don't know. And in these very divisive times, I think that's a really beautiful message to share. And because it's a true story, it's that much more powerful.
Now, you might be asking yourself, what else has John Gunn done? Well, he's done a lot. He produced the 2015 film The Week, and he directed a 2009 film like Dandelion Dust. He also produced the 2004 film My Date with Drew, and also most recently, he produced American Underdog in 2021. We actually did a podcast on that a while back, but coming up next, we have a featurette. And if most of you know, in these featurettes, the studios, they send me this pre-packaged mini commercial with interviews, clips from the movie, on a set footage, things of that nature. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you a website in case you want to watch the TV show so you can watch this featurette interviews so you get to see what's going on in that little featurette. And I'll give you that at the end of the show. But this one primarily just talks about the story. And you're going to hear from a lot of people involved in this film. In the order that they come out first will be Hilary Swank, Alan Ritchson, Tamala Jones, John Gunn, John Irwin, Dave Stone, Kevin Downs. And then after that, they'll repeat some of those later on in more of the interviews. But just so you get to know what their voices sound like, then you know who's coming up next. So that featurette is coming up right now.
It's like almost stranger and more beautiful than fiction.
There's so much drama in the script that you're like, this can't be real. On page one, I laughed out loud twice. And on page two, I had tears.
It is a heartfelt movie in such a different way than you've ever seen before.
At the heart of it, it was a story about healing, how helping other people is often how we heal ourselves.
That just brings a lot of hope and goodness to your heart.
I think Ordinary Angels is the perfect film to follow Jesus Revolution. Jesus Revolution is a film about spiritual awakening and revival. Ordinary Angels is about how can we become known as Christians by how we love people in our communities.
I actually got to be there when the helicopter took off and be a part of the shoveling of that parking lot. It's pretty amazing to see it now on a big screen.
What inspires me the most is how this community really rallied together. When a community puts their mind to it, anything can happen.
Sometimes the people that do the greatest work are the most unlikely heroes. Sharon, who Hilary portrays so well, was that unlikely hero.
I wish there were more movies like this. I completely believe that angels are amongst all of us.
The broken toys of the world have the power to change us, to heal us, to help us.
This is a story about ordinary people. Broken, messy, struggling people helping each other.
It's just a feel-good movie based on a true story, so it should really touch home.
Sharon was a uniter, and on that day, she brought a community together, and it made a big difference.
This is the story of an ordinary woman who does an extraordinary thing to be able to impact and change people.
It's a nail-biter. It's a race against time. But what I love about it is this church and this group of friends pulled their city together to save a life. Because we can all be an ordinary angel in our community.
You're not just worthy, Sharon. You're a miracle.
How did it become your responsibility to save her?
Because I'm here, because I can.
So what do you guys think? Sound like something you want to see? Even if you don't see it in the theater, do you think it's something you'll see on demand? That's what we do this show for. You just never know what you might find. You might find that little gem that you might said, hey, I never knew this movie existed. I'll give it a whirl. Well, coming up next, we're going to hear from Hilary Swank. And she just covers a myriad of things from the character, the inspiring of the story, and just playing somebody real. And let me just give you a little heads up here, too. In that featurette, you heard little blips of interviews. Well, later on in the show, like coming up next from Hilary Swank, some of those little blips, you're going to hear the full version of that interview here. So there'll be a smidgen overlay of redundancy, but I think you understand that of why, and it just now you get the full feel of that said interview. And it's going to be that way throughout the show, too. You're going to hear other interviews from other people that had that snippet. And you already know how this works, and you already know how that plays. I just want to let you know in advance. And if I haven't said it enough, Hilary Swank, could you imagine sitting down with this woman and having a conversation? The story she could tell. You know, and I think she'd be just totally cool with it. She wouldn't be sitting there going, I can't talk to you about that, or no, I'm an acteur. I think she's down to earth, and she could talk to anybody. Again, I could be way wrong. I'm just a guy sitting here in my basement talking about movies. So I don't know any of these people or what they're like. But in my mind's eye, I always tell myself, all right, I think, Hilary Swank, I bet you she's so cool to talk to. And again, the stories, the information, the experience that she's had, and she's humble about it. Well, find out for yourself. Here's an interview with Hilary Swank.
I certainly love a real life character, especially when it's like almost stranger and more beautiful than fiction. You know, a lot of the roles that I've played and chosen to play fall into that category. And Sharon is definitely one of them. I mean, just to think that what she gave from her heart and just like the work ethic that she had to get to the finish line is so inspiring. And I also loved the characters. I loved everybody, everyone involved and how well written they were. And, every single character brought something to the way I was feeling. I could see their points of view, but I also just, like I said, was before, I was just taken by the fact that an ordinary person going through life just found that grace in their heart to want to help another human. I just find that, especially right now, nowadays, with all that we're seeing in the news and a lot of, a lot of stuff that is upsetting, to see this goodness that's out there and happening as well just really, really spoke to me. Sharon walks into the life of these unknowing human beings who are going through a crisis and a very difficult and sad time. They don't know what the future is going to hold. And she walks in through her heartstrings getting pulled by seeing an article in the newspaper, and she just kind of shows up and kind of says, I've been called to do something to help these people. And in she walks, and she doesn't leave until she does what her heart is asking her to do.
What a class act, right? Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from the very talented Alan Ritchson, who plays Ed. And this is just a great interview. I love his honesty. I love what he talks about, what we talked about earlier. these kind of roles don't come across my desk much. Just hearing somebody say that, he's like, wow, this is great that this kind of role I know I could do, and now I have this opportunity. But then he also talks about the story, and it's just a really solid interview.
This story had never come across my world. Of course, having read the script, there's so much drama in the script that you're like, this can't be real. This is like if somebody's trying to create the craziest, most dramatic, painful story in the world, this is maybe what you try and come up with. And I was shocked to find out that this is not only a true story, but that in all actuality, this man lost his wife, he lost one daughter, and then he had to fight to keep his other daughter alive. So, you know what I love about the story is that it's one of the rare love stories that's completely platonic. I mean, there's nothing sexual about this relationship. You know, it's just a beautiful story of people helping each other because it's the right thing to do. And as painful as it is to watch the drama unfold, at the end of the day, I think it's one of the most redemptive stories that there is, just watching an entire community rally around this little girl to try and save her.
For the producers and makers of this film, getting these two famous, great actors to play in this film from Alan Ritchson and Hilary Swank, those are two major gets. To get somebody on that level, to be in this kind of film, that's a big deal. So coming up next, we're going to hear from several people talking about Hilary Swank, not just about getting her to play this role, but what she brings to it. First, we're going to hear from the director, John Gunn, then executive producer, Rick Baker, and then we're going to hear from Hilary Swank talking about the character Sharon that she plays, the real-life person. And then we're going to hear a little bit more from the director talking a little bit more about Hilary, and then we're going to hear from Kevin Downs, the producer.
Oh, I was so excited about Hilary Swank. You know, you get your hopes up when you're in the casting process, and, you know, when her name came up and when I heard that she was possibly interested, I was kind of holding my breath, hoping it would all happen. I have genuinely been such a big fan of hers for so long. Million Dollar Baby is a movie that I've seen many times and really love. And The Gift and Boys Don't Cry, a lot of her work that I'd seen, and some of her earlier films that aren't as well known, that where she's very funny and she's very always honest and complex. And so Sharon needed to be someone who could be funny and strange and beautiful and sad and all of those things together. And I said that to her right away. I was like, I've seen all of these notes and flavors and tones in your work, but not all in the same role.
I was really floored when Hilary Swank got the, you know, agreed to play the part, because she's got the acting chops to do it. You know, she's won an Academy Award for good reasons. Everything she's done has been done, you know, with tremendous range, you know, and heart. And she, you know, she kind of reminds me of Sharon. She's got that sort of innate toughness.
Sharon is a go-getter. She is someone who doesn't like to sit down. She likes to have fun. She likes to really attack life with all of herself. She gets in there and wants people to be their best, and is flawed like any human being. And she is trying to figure it out like we all are, and yet with such heart and such determination and a lot of care.
I think this is a great opportunity for her to show how funny she can be and how interesting and compelling. But all of that, as she bulldozes her way through this story, is done with such honesty and humanity. And so I've just been thrilled. And she's spectacular in the role. It's something I'm excited to share.
Hilary just brings a gravitas, a talent that you just love. In fact, when we first started talking about her, we weren't even sure if she would be totally interested. But I've loved her body of work. I mean, you know, what's not to love about all the movies that she's done? They're just so, she has a way of really drawing you into a story as a film watcher, and keeping you there, like holding you there in a way that you really want to know. You're pulled in, and you really want to know what's going to happen. And so, for me, it's like it's a gift to be able to have her as a part of this cast, because she brings it's kind of this strength that Sharon has in real life that's shown on the page, and Hilary has that strength in her repertoire.
Now, we just heard them praising Hilary Swank. Now, it's Alan's turn. we're going to hear from John Gunn, the director, Alan Ritchson himself talking about reading that script for the first time, Rick Baker, the executive producer. Then we go back to Alan talking about the character specifically, Ed. And then we return to Kevin Downs, the producer. I just love hearing these stories about these the creators of the story going, I can't believe we got this guy. Because the guy is so talented. And I hope the rest of Hollywood sees his performance and knows that he can do more. Because we all know, if you've ever seen the show Reacher, the guy knocks it out of the park. But we know he could do more. And that's what I'm glad that we're all going to be able to see.
Alan was a great surprise in this movie. It's not at all what I imagined the character to be to begin with, just because I was thinking of sort of an everyman and somebody who's a hardworking blue-collar guy who's, you know, arguably not as large as Alan is. You know, he's a big guy. And so when the idea first came up, I had seen Reacher, and I was really excited that they were making the show with him as the lead. And then one of my producers had met him and said, you should meet this guy. And I thought, well, is he really the right thing to play the everyman? And then when I met him and spoke to him instantly, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy understands what it is to be a father and wants to show this side of himself that he doesn't get to show in all of his action movies and action roles.
I didn't know about this story, you know, before reading the script. So when I was reading the script, it was sort of every page turn was a surprise. And the emotional roller coaster was almost too much at times. It, you know, on page one, I laughed out loud twice. So I was like, oh, it's kind of a funny, fun story. And on page two, I had tears in my eyes. And I was like, what are we in for? And I remember on page 23, I started crying reading because you start to see how this story is affecting the world around them and how people are starting to pull together to root for, you know, you start to root for this story, the family, and it sucks you in.
I just watched him on Reacher, you know, so I'm sitting at home and I didn't know he was cast in the part. I said, man, this guy's going to be a movie star. The first time I saw him on TV, I had no idea who he was. And I was just telling my wife that, and I told a couple other people. I said, I just watched this guy, I told my son, you know. And then, lo and behold, they said, oh, guess who we cast for Ed? It was Alan Ritchson. And I went, my gosh, what a weird coincidence.
Ed is a blue-collar roofer. He is a guy who's trying to mind his own business and just take care of his family. He's a good guy that's dealt with a ton of pain. Ed loses his wife that he cared about very much and struggles to keep his family together with little to no resources, which is unfortunately a story that all too many people have these days. I think a lot of people struggle with resources. Getting by is a day-to-day uphill battle. And when you start to throw in the tragedy of losing somebody that you love, it can make it feel unbearable at times. So Ed personifies that.
Alan Ritchson, what is not to love about him? I mean, he's the biggest surprise to me out of everybody because he's, you know, my only familiarity with him was watching the Amazon series Reacher. And so he plays this certain character. When I first met him, I'm like, oh my goodness, he's like the most lovable big guy I've ever met. I mean, he's just got a heart of gold. He wants to give everything he receives away, and it comes across on screen where it's like, how do you not root for this guy? He's such a loving, caring, giving man, and to have those attributes in your own persona comes out so easily for him, and that's who Ed is.
You gotta love that high praise. That alone says a lot. Excuse me, guys. As I'm talking here, my voice is kind of falling in and out, so I apologize about that. I just had this raging headache, and I'm kind of losing my voice, so bear with me. For that, I apologize. Now, coming up next, we're going to have several interviews that deal with trauma in these two characters who are entirely different and how they mash together but yet work together. So we're going to first hear from Alan Ritchson. He talks about that, the clash of these two strong characters, and I love his great quote, on a mission without permission. That could sound grating, but in some situations, that's probably a good thing. But obviously not all the time. Not every situation demands a mission without permission, because that could cause serious problems, as we've seen through history. And then we're going to hear from producer Kevin Downs, and he talks about those two clashing like that. He talks about how the director really captures that energy between Ed and Sharon. And then we're going to hear from Hilary Swank talking about the character Sharon and her relationship with his daughters. And we can't forget, this is based on real life people. So we're going to hear from Alan again, and he talks about trauma and faith and how sometimes these things go hand in hand, or they can split you apart and makes you question things. And I love how he talks about that, how in his mind, he feels sometimes it's good to question things, not just blindly go straight forward. There's a difference between faith and blind faith, if that makes any sense. But here those are.
The clash of the tidal waves. We've got a man who can't ask for help, refuses to ask for help, and doesn't want any. And Sharon, who will insert herself like a comma in the middle of a sentence that doesn't want one. She has decided to make this family her mission without permission. And, you know, I think part of the fun of this movie is seeing if she'll be right in her quest. You know, will she pull off these miracles that she's promising these strangers? You know, if she's wrong, it's like salt in a wound, and I think it would be rather tragic. If she's right, this becomes a special, unique, and beautiful kind of love story that she devoted herself and worked tirelessly to do whatever it took to help.
You know, the way John Gunn has just captured some of the moments where Sharon just doesn't want to give up, even when Ed, he's like, you know, Ed fights, but then you sometimes see a little bit of a crack, but Sharon is right there. She's like, no, we're not going to give up in this moment. I know that you're facing impossible odds. And to be able to see Sharon as just sort of a shadow of who Ed, that void that Ed needs in his life, because he lost his wife, and there's Sharon, this angel out of nowhere. Like, it's like, what motivation does Sharon have to be able to do what she does, but one that is completely selfless, because she has no selfish motivation in her entire effort to be able to lift this family up in their most dire need and to save the life of this young little girl. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful story.
Sharon's relationship with the girls is so fun. I think she brings some light into the gloom and doom that they're experiencing in their lives, understandably, with losing their mother and being Michelle being just so sick and really struggling. But it's such the beauty of kids that they're so in the moment that they don't get caught up in the what ifs. They really are just present, and I think that Sharon is the same. I think she's really a present person, so when she's with them, there's a lot of laughter, and she doesn't think about what the future's going to hold. She's just in the moment now. What can I do now? Yes, to make the future better for the people around me, but how can I make it better for all of us right now?
There's so many colorful grays in between the black and white, you know, as I think anybody would experience when dealing with trauma. I think we all, you know, at one point or another have our doubts. I think at the end of the day, he believes in God, but wrestles with that relationship, as we should. I think God invites those conversations. I think God would much rather have us wrestle with him than ignore him or try to do this all on our own. And I think that's where we meet Ed. Deep down, he does have faith, and I think eventually he comes around, as I think many of us do or will, but I think it's a real challenge, getting there to the point where there's a relationship, which is completely understandable.
Now, this movie just doesn't have Hilary Swank and Alan Ritchson. It has another great performer, Tamala Jones. She plays Rose. So next couple interviews, we're going to hear about Rose and a little bit more about Tamala. So at first, we're going to hear from Tamala Jones, and she talks about why she loved this story. And what she says in here is really great, and it makes a lot of sense. Because in so many of these movies, it's that love interest, and it's a la-di-da-di-da, cookie cutter, these two end up together. And not all stories have to end that way, because this is a true story. And she talks about the script and how much that moved her, but it's mostly about a daughter. Everybody joining together, trying to help this little girl. And then we're going to hear from Kevin Downs, and he talks about Tamala Jones and what she brings to this film and to the character. And then we're going to hear from Tamla Jones, and she talks more about the character Rose. And then right in the same line, Hilary Swank will be talking about Rose. And then Tamla Jones elaborates even more on the character. These are just really good interviews, and I'm glad the studio provided such great ones.
What I really loved was this was about a little girl. That really touched my heart. This was a love story, but not about two people in love. It was about the love of this child. And I was, when I got to the end and saw that the two main characters didn't hook up, I was even more happy because you rarely see this. And the fact that it's based on a true story really, really touched me, that these are real people and this thing really happened.
Tamla's a gift. I mean, she shows up and she does her thing and she nails it. And Rose is obviously, to me, the heart and soul of this thing. And Tamla is such a great actress. I'm thrilled that she wanted to do it. Again, feel really blessed to have her. This whole cast is just so talented that we brought together. And what I love is that they're all equally passionate about the story. So they're not here just to, hey, I get to act in a movie, but they actually love the message behind this story, which is if we just put our own selfish desires down, we can come together and we can rally and we can do extraordinary things.
Rose is the voice of reckoning. She is a no-nonsense, but still very warm person. I think that we all know someone like Rose. You know, she gives you the business as it is. She doesn't sugarcoat anything, but she wants you to know it comes from a good place. She's not here to judge you or to make you feel bad about who you are. We all know we're individuals, and that makes us individuals. No one can be the same, but she wants the best for everyone around her.
How Rose is this, they're yin and yang a little bit. Like, Sharon's like, let's go. And she's like, hang on, let's think it all out. So it's kind of nice that they bring that out in each other. But Rose is a great friend because Rose is shining a bright light on something that needs to be looked at and in Sharon's life. And it's so important to have friends like that who are honest with us and hold our feet to the fire when needed, especially with someone like Sharon, who's like, later, let's live now. So I think a friendship like that is a real blessing.
She's like the Bonnie to Sharon's Clyde. If there's something that she really needs and it really has a purpose, she's going to rally the troops up and we're going to get it done. You know, give me a reason and a good one and it's done, you know? Like when Sharon calls Rose and she's, you know, very upset about this little girl's position. If she happens to get on the list for a transplant, how are we going to get her there? She only has 6 hours. Don't worry about it, is Rose's thing. We're going to figure out a way. And the ideas that they come up with together to make money to kind of help, or if money is not even a play in here, we need people. We rally the people together. So I love that Rose is a ride or die for Sharon and for whoever else is in her life, but mainly Sharon.
Now, in the next set of interviews, we're going to deal with themes, messages, and faces that we wear to different kind of people. But first, we're going to hear from Alan Ritchson, and he's going to talk about the character of Sharon a little bit more. But then he moves into, there's two kind of films, and he talks about what kind of film this is. And then we hear from Hilary Swank talking about the themes of the film, then Kevin Downs, the message of the film, then Rick Baker, the executive producer, he talks about, and this is really kind of a fun one too, he talks about the different faces that we all wear, and we know we all do this. We wear different faces for our parents, for our brothers, sisters, friends, whomever it is, we all have roles that we play, and we put these masks on just to get through that certain relationship. But in the end, we all have one core mask, and not many people get to see that. And that's who you really are. And when does that come out? When does that core come out and shine or not shine? Because not every core is a good core. And that's what's interesting when it comes down to that fight or flight situation or anything that comes along in your life, what's your core mask? And that's, I think that terrifies a lot of us. And I know it terrifies me because I am very guilty of all these things. There's times where that mask comes on and I'm like, who is this clown? And then sometimes like, whoa, hey, who is this guy? You just never know what mask might come out. And then we're going to hear from the director, John Gunn, and he talks about what he hopes this film does. What's his hopes for this film?
The character of Sharon is ordinary is a difficult word because there's nothing plain about her. She's rather a rainbow, you know. I mean, she's vibrant. In the world that we're in of muted colors, she's the brightest one. But that can be unmanageable for some people and toxic for others. And, you know, so there's conflict there. But at the end of the day, she represents what many of us feel like we are, which is powerless. You know, who are we to change the world? Who are we to make miracles? We're all ordinary in that sense. That we lack the divine magic wand to say, poof, whatever you need, here it is. But through our efforts and our collective endeavors, we can wave a kind of magic wand in a way. We can really affect the ether and the lives of those around us in great and small ways. And in that sense, we're all ordinary, and we all have the potential to be angels to somebody else. So, you know, I think it's a title to aspire to. There's two kinds of films. There's the popcorn films that offer us a chance to escape, and we need that. Those are important. Then there's the films that really remind us or awaken something in us, remind us of who we are as, you know, our humanity and what we're capable of. That sows the seeds of important conversations in our lives that we should have that we can have. And this is that kind of thing. It awakens in me when I, working on this and having read the script, it awakens in me an important sense of optimism that we can do wonderful things together.
I'd say some of the themes in this film are to never judge, because we never know what someone else is going through. To give a wide berth to people, to give people a second chance, to believe in miracles, to love like there's no tomorrow, and to try and keep being better all the time.
I think the message is if, you know, time is short, time is so limited while we're here on this earth. I mean, we realize that when we lose close ones, loved ones that are really close to us. And so the power of people coming together, we can do more together than we can do by ourselves in one single unit. And the more people that come together, I mean, if we hold hands, we can literally lift the entire world up. And so this is what this movie shows, is that if we die to ourselves and we put ourselves below the importance of other people in our life, that we can do extraordinary things and even heal people in their weakest moment of life and really lift them up.
We have one face that we show, you know, when you're talking to your mother, to your friends, to your boss, whatever. We all have sort of masks that we put on. But when the mask is down and you're just the core person that you really, really are, sometimes you realize that there are things inside you that can rise up and that you can do meaningful things. You know, you can do more than just exist and watch TV and go to bed. And I think that people are looking for moments when they can shine. And I think that people may find strength in this film that they didn't know they had.
I hope this is a film that will inspire others. You know, because we live in very divisive times, I feel like a true story, an honest, heartfelt, grounded human story about people helping other people, people they don't even know, you know, is very inspirational. I mean, Sharon mobilized an entire community of people to help this family. And so, yeah, I would love to think that people watch this movie and go, that really happened almost 30 years ago, And it's the kind of thing that maybe we should be thinking of doing for each other more and more, you know? I feel like it's so easy these days to draw lines in the sand and to turn on one another, but this is a story of people supporting each other and helping each other. And so I would hope that it would inspire people to do the same.
So what do you guys think? Is this the kind of movie you'd like to see? Did I give enough evidence? Would you have seen this without hearing this? I would love your feedback and input, because I can't grow if I don't know. So anytime you have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve the show, feel free to let me know. CinemaJudge@hotmail.com. Or you could go to YouTube. I love hearing your messages on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, you name it, I'm there. And I would love to hear from you. But if you want to watch the TV version of this so you can watch the interviews, go to bit.ly/cinemajudge. bit.ly/cinemajudge. And on that, you don't see or hear me at all. It's strictly show. That's why I do this here, because you don't know who's coming up next. So that's why I have to be your navigator, for lack of a better word. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of this show. This is where I thank you, the listeners, who listen to the podcast. This doesn't cover people who've watched it or listened to it on YouTube. That's a whole different animal. But if you want to follow me there, that's really super. Or follow me on any podcast, whatever platform you have, that's great. Or both. I mean, it's really great to have subscribers to both the YouTube and this. But again, no pressure. I don't want to be that guy. But I love hearing about where, when, or how you listen to this show. Because some of you might listen to that first week. Some people might listen 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now. And I try to keep it a little bubble here, a little movie oasis, a place where you can just come and listen to a movie, not even care about what time of the year it is. I would like to have you come in here, listen to this show, and not have any realization of when I recorded it. Every blue moon, the world seeps in. That just has to happen sometimes. But I want to provide a place where you could come in from out of the noise, because the world is full of so much noise. That's not what I like to do here. I'm not here to yell, scream, complain, cry about Hollywood, tell you not to see a movie. I would never tell you not to see a movie, because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. Who am I to tell you not to see a movie? That's ridiculous. I love going out there searching for a movie that maybe everybody hates. And I go, why? I want to find out for myself. I'm not going to have some group tell me not to see a movie. I don't care what group it is, what side of the universe they're talking about here. I want to find out on my own. That's the joy of cinema, TV, anything like that. Finding out for yourself. And that's what I like to try to provide for you. Because I like to journey too. I love hearing these interviews from movies that I might not see normally. And I might go, whoa, this really sounds interesting. That's my goal here. To bring you and me together. And we can just sit here in one little space and talk about something other than all the noise. Leave that to the professionals. So wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. All my listeners from the United States, Germany, you guys are out of control. You guys are always there. Same thing with the Netherlands, Nigeria, France, Poland, Canada, United Kingdom, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Amsterdam, Zanesville, Ohio, Bloomington, Minnesota. That doesn't happen every time. So hey, way to go, Bloomington. Katsina State, Krefeld, North Rhine-Westphalia, Frankfurt, AM, Main, Hesse, Nuremberg. Oh, man, I'm going to butcher this one, guys. BYDGOSZCZKUJAWKO, Pomerski. Thank you very much for listening. I'm very sorry about that. St. Louis, Missouri. Blackwood, New Jersey. Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hello, Nova Scotia. Maple Grove, Minnesota. Gilbert, Arizona. Houston, Texas. Charlotte, North Carolina. St. Paul, Minnesota. Las Vegas, Nevada. Halifax, Calderdale. That's just to name a few. But to every solitary one of you out there, you took time out of your life to listen to this show. That blows my mind away. Because like I always say, here I am. I'm sitting in my basement, middle of the night, just talking to, well, you. But I don't know who you are, when you are, or where you are. But here you are. You're listening to the show. So my deepest, deepest thanks goes out to you. And today's bourbon shout-out goes out to Lauren. Thanks for chatting to me about movies. I'm sorry that you were sick last time I saw you. I hope you're doing better. But to you, Lauren, cheers. Now, like I mentioned earlier, this is always the TV show first. That becomes this, the podcast. But when I'm doing the TV show, it's me, the movie I'm editing, and I'm just blaring tunes. I'm just sitting here, just basking away in it. That's just my perfect mojo, my happy place, movies and music. And I can mash them together like I do when I'm editing the TV show. Man, what more do I need? And this week, as you well know, sometimes I try to go polar opposites of the theme. Sometimes I stick right with it. But this time I'm like, why not mix it up? Keep me on my toes. Since this was more of a faith-based, religious-based movie, so what I did was I played Black Sabbath, Paranoid album, and then I had to play a little Ronnie James Dio, because he was at one point in Black Sabbath, but sometimes his solo stuff is really exceptional, and I just love his stuff. Holy Diver, The Last in Line, Heaven and Hell, Rainbow in the Dark, and I could go on and on. But Ronnie James, he had some great tunes. And then I also had to play some Metallica, Injustice for All. What a great album that one is. I remember going to that concert tour back in the day, seventh row, having a blast. I just had some great memories with that one. So I listened to Injustice for All, great album. Well, that's it. My voice is almost gone. So thank you for putting up with me, guys. So, but that is it. My glass awaits. I'm thirsty. So cheers to you and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.